Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
A study focusing on the lived experiences of children in care and young care leavers with disabilities has been published today. EPIC, Empowering People in Care, commissioned the report, which looked at how policy and practice can change to enable people in care to have their voices heard and their rights respected. I'm joined now on the line by two young people who took part in the study. Alan Fay is 26 years old and Andrea Riley is 20, and they're both members of the EPIC Youth Council. I'm also joined by EPIC CEO Marissa Ryan. You're all three of you very welcome to the programme. I might start with you, Alan Fay, if I may. You're very welcome to Drive Time. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
How are you, Carl?
Not too bad, thank you very much. You're very welcome, as I say. You might tell me a little bit about yourself, Alan.
I'm Alan Fay. I'm 26. I have cerebral palsy with secondary scoliosis.
And tell me, how did you find growing up in care, Alan, with your disability?
I found it quite good overall, but it was difficult in a sense because of my disability. I wasn't sure of where I was going to go because of my circumstances, obviously. You know.
And it's the uncertainty of it, Alan. Is it? Was that the difficulty, or was it difficult to access supports and so on as well?
I suppose it's a mixture of everything, really. Uncertainty, accessing support, because I wasn't too sure whether I was going to end up in residential services or maybe even a nursing home. Mm-hmm. Looking at the same four walls.
And you're, and that would be a difficult prospect, all right. You're 26, you say, now, Alan. When did you have to deal with that uncertainty in your life?
When I was about 14 or 13, my mom and dad, unfortunately, fell into drug addiction, so it was a kind of a difficult time, but thankfully, my grandparents stepped in and they made me the person I am today. So I thank them for that.
Yeah, well done to your grandparents and well done to you as well, Alan. It can't have been difficult. Or it can't have been easy.
No, it certainly wasn't easy, but I'm here to help people. And that's what I want to continue to do in terms of getting this report out there today. Was a big achievement for me, especially as a person with a disability. So I'd like to thank EPIC for giving me that opportunity.
Yeah, and it's great to have this study, because the hope is that it your experience, Andrea's experience, will help people in the Dáil, for example, or whoever makes rules or laws around this area, will give them insight and more knowledge to make decisions. Can I ask you about the prospect of, did you fear that, Alan? Were you afraid then that at 14 years of age that you'd be in a nursing home looking at the same four walls, as you say?
Well, I was unsure, but I couldn't say that for sure. But that was going through my mind at that time. But thankfully, my running grandad stepped in at the vital time and took me into the care. So as I said, I thank them for that. I have a great relationship with both of them.
Yeah.
And they have a great relationship with me. So it was a difficult time, but I came out the other end of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank
and it goes to show the importance of a good granny and granddad in your life as well. Stay with me, Alan, if you can, for a moment. I want to bring in Andrea Riley as well. You're very welcome indeed, Andrea, to the programme. Tell me a little bit about yourself, if you don't mind.
Hi, Cormac. How are you? Yeah, my name is Andrea Riley. I'm 20 years old and I have fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. The condition is invisible and lifelong, and it affected me my whole life.
Mm-hmm. And it's something we've discussed in this program before. So when you say it's invisible, it can be difficult for people to understand it, I suppose, from just dealing with or engaging with a person. Why did you want to get involved in this study, Andrea?
Well, I suppose there is such a lack of understanding of conditions like fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, and I wanted to break stigma, and, you know, I wanted to spread awareness and share the challenges I've experienced.
Mm-hmm. What are they then? What did you really want to impart?
Well, I suppose a lot of the challenges that I faced have been very difficult at times, and I wanted to advocate for early intervention because luckily I was placed with a foster family that knew about my condition, and I was lucky enough to get the support to where I can speak today and do all the things I'm able to do now. So
yeah, and because of early intervention, you were able to flourish then when you got access to the services as well. What about transition to adulthood, Andrea?
Well, the transition to aftercare was quite challenging because I really didn't know what supports were out there for me. Like, you know, when you turn 18, you're suddenly too old for so many services, and it's very hard to navigate access and what supports that you need then when you turn 18 and how to communicate them. And I find that even the length of time to wait for supports is quite long, and that can be quite challenging as well. So
yeah, and that's something that needs to be cleared up and cleaned up very quickly as well, supports into adulthood as well. How did you find Alan taking part in this research, in this report?
I found it really successful, to be honest. As I said, like, I thank Epic for giving me this opportunity to take part in the research, because it gave me a chance to help other people, not just myself, mm-hmm. you know.
What one lesson would you like politicians to take note of, Alan?
Just to take into account that we do exist and we are people. Yes, we grow up in the care system, but that doesn't define who we are as people.
Yeah, and it's incredible in a way that you have to underline that, but you do so very powerfully indeed. Can I bring in Marissa Ryan, who's CEO of Epic? You're very welcome, Marissa, to the program. The main findings of this study, if you could encapsulate them.
Thank you. Always hard to go after these other two, but
sure, yeah.
Essentially the report highlighted a few areas of good practice, but also challenges. So one of the main findings was that supportive individuals make the greatest impact in the lives of children in care with disabilities. And I think Alan has already outlined that, how his grandparents became his foster carers, mm-hmm. and that had a huge impact in his life. And Andrea said the same. But actually other professionals were also identified, such as social workers, teachers, independent advocates from Epic and other services, and aftercare workers. And for children in care who are trying to navigate the care system while also having a disability, the support of those key adults was really fundamental.
And what do you hope the report to achieve then? Because very often we talk about various reports, even the National Action Plan on Racism, which we discussed earlier in the programme with Dr. Eben Joseph. Her fear would be that it wouldn't be implemented. So is that a fear here as well, Marissa?
So the report's findings, while also identifying positives, are very clear on negative experiences and gaps in service provision for the children and young people who participated. They also include areas which need more effort, such as coordinated action by the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, the HSE and TUSLA. And what we're hoping to come out of this report is the opportunity to influence our colleagues to do further research, because there's a huge gap in evidence-based policy making in relation to children in care with disabilities. And for that to lead to stronger and better policy making and better interagency collaboration to reduce some of the barriers outlined in the report which our children and young people face. And we kind of feel that now the responsibility for disability has formally moved into the Department of Children, there's a really great opportunity now for the department to develop better research and data and to establish a dedicated response to improve national policy and practice, because we all just want the same thing. These children and young people deserve to thrive and to achieve the best possible outcomes in line with their peers.
Can I ask you finally, Andrea, just picking up on what Alan said, that you are people as well, that you have rights and you want that respected. Is there sometimes a sense among people who have disabilities that they're ignored or disregarded in some way in this country?
Yeah, I feel like we've been overlooked for so long because there really is a lack of understanding for our needs and what we have to go through. Like, for example, like my condition is invisible and people didn't understand my behaviour and why I did the things that I did. And I feel like if there was more understanding, then, you know, it would be more inclusive and more understandable.
Yeah, I do know exactly. And you're both so, I must say, you're making your points very well. There's huge praise for you, Andrea Riley, and you, Alan Fay, as well. Let me read one text to 51551. Will you thank Alan for sharing his amazing story and also the other young lady too, and that's Andrea. As a person with a disability myself, I feel very uplifted and encouraged listening to what they have told us today. I will listen again to the podcast, and that is from Maura. And anyone can listen back to this podcast as well. It will be available just after the programme. Can I thank you very much indeed, Alan Fay and Andrea Riley, and also the CEO of Epic, Marissa Ryan.